Welcome back. You're listening to Eye on the Outdoors award-winning radio show.
Here it comes again. That same old chilly wind will blow like a cold winter squall, and I'll begin to feel the chill of an early fall. There's a storm coming on, and it won't be too long till the snow falls. Oh, I'll be sober some, but when October comes and goes, no time of an early fall. Oh, how quick they slip away.
Welcome back to Ray I Radio from the bunker. This is your host, Ray I. Came back a little George Strait, Chill of an Early Fall. I love playing that George Strait song each and every fall. Here we are in the first weekend in October. I'm in turkey camp, Missouri Ozarks. First full weekend of fall turkey hunting. Of course, it's archery season for white-tailed deer. There's squirrel hunting, fishing, floating, hiking, camping, bike riding, whatever you may do in the outdoors. Share the outdoors with others. I'm going to a wedding. As I mentioned before, I'm going to a wedding after the show today. My great friend Chance Hollingshad and little cutie pie, Melissa Girdley, will be married today. It's going to be on their farm down out of Door, Missouri. Have a big fire outside. I'll be wearing bib overalls. It's been a lot of years since I went to a wedding in overalls. I went to my cousin Margaret's and Ernie's wedding back in the 70s with bib overalls. It'll be great to return to my past, my history. A few shows ago, I talked a bit about being at my family reunion and talked about huckleberries and going up on a mountain and picking berries, and got a great response about the history. As an old guy, I think it's my obligation to pass on to the younger generations some of the history that they may not have any chance to experience. Of course, if you well know, if you go to any of the young people's events today, I'd say a mall, but they're mostly gone, but something like a mall, and ask the youngsters about a huckleberry or something like that, or hunting, shooting, trapping, fishing, very few respond. So it's important to get this out there. I talked about the huckleberry actually being a blueberry, and here we are in fall, a great time. Fall is a great time to gather the wild foods that grow abundantly here in the Ozarks. Of course, there's the black walnuts, the hickory nuts, persimmons, the fall mushrooms, all the history. I could do an entire segment on fall mushrooms, and we probably will need to do that sometime. Wild grapes that are native to the Ozarks and many of the southern Midwestern states is a big deal to me. And with the picking the wild grapes is an annual event for us. And my grandmother used to make wild grape jelly preserves that were just incredible. And then my mother made them later in life, and then my wife makes them for me. And me and brother Marty, we always pick wild grapes. And let me tell you something, wild grapes locations is as secretive as mushroom spots. Nobody's going to find out where your wild grapes are. Wild grapes make tremendous jelly, and I like sharing those with friends and family. I got a quick story. Many years ago, my Uncle Lee and my cousin Ernie found a big group of wild grapes, and they picked up a bunch of wild grapes and came back, and my grandma asked, well, where did you find those? And so they gave her directions. So she borrowed Ernie's Jeep. Ernie had a CJ5 back in the day. This is in the 70s. It had the top off and the windshield down. Well, my grandmother and my great-grandmother, who was like 83 at the time, loaded up in that Jeep and went to go get wild grapes. When they got out to the wild grape patch, they had a couple sacks and a bucket, and they filled that because they found the mother load. To me, this is one of the funniest stories. So they didn't have any way to continue picking grapes, so they took their blouses off and tied the sleeves of their blouses and filled their blouses and then buttoned them up with wild grapes, put them in the Jeep, and drove back through town. Of course, this was the talk of the town. And my dad and my grandpa and my uncles were laughing until they were crying when those two old gals pulled up in front of the house in just their brassieres. And they did not care. They had the wild grapes. Can you imagine the talk in the town of the local cafe when them two gals come down through town in their bras in a CJ5 with the top off that Jeep? Well, there's another great food source in the Ozarks. And I found it interesting just starting to see a little bit about it on the Facebook. Our great friend and outdoor writer Billy Cooper had a picture posted of the pawpaw. That's Missouri's banana, the Ozark banana, the pawpaw. They're small trees. They grow in colonies. They can be found in dense shade or most low, you know, the moist lower slopes and ravines, valleys, along the streams and rivers, the base of wooded bluffs. That's where I usually find them. The dark reddish purple flowers, pretty striking when they begin to bloom in March. And it's said when crushed, the blooms smell similar to fermenting grapes. Native Americans actually use the inner bark of the tree to weave fiber for clothes, while the pioneers use the same material for stringing their fish. The northernmost New World representative of tropical fruit, the pawpaw tree grows in some of the most interesting fruit. You don't want to eat the seeds. The seeds are pretty rough, but you just peel the skin and eat away. And they got to be ripe, though. You don't want to eat a semi-ripe pawpaw. And there's so many things you can make from the pawpaw. And it's funny, not very many people know what a pawpaw is today. It does kind of taste. The fruit turns yellow when it matures. It's got kind of a banana taste, but like I said, don't eat the seeds. I'm going to play a little song from you. I remember as a kid, a song down in the pawpaw patch. I'm going to play that first, and then I'm going to tell you more about pawpaws. Here we go.
And that song was the Pawpaw Patch, also known as Sweet Little Nelly. The pawpaw is an actual fruit, but it is an American fruit. They say it's also known as the American custard apple, the West Virginia banana, the prairie banana, the Kentucky banana, the poor man's banana, but it's actually not an apple or a banana. It's a pawpaw. It's the largest native fruit of North America. Or you can bake it, use it like a pie filling. You can make it into ice cream. I did find one interesting thing about this song being written down. It says that Ruth Seeger, who was the stepmother of Pete Seeger, included it in a music collection that she compiled. But it's an old folk song that's been around for a while and used a lot for dances, kind of like children's dances, square dances kind of thing.
So there's the pawpaw song. And have you ever heard of the pawpaw? Most folks, even those living in the Ozarks, have heard the word pawpaw but never seen a pawpaw tree. That's something I pulled out here, and I don't totally agree with that. But if you've seen one, then they probably didn't recognize it as an Ozark fruit tree. It's called hillbilly banana as well as an Ozark banana. Old-timers knew all about pawpaw fruit. Sausage-shaped fruit ripens around mid-September through October. It's the largest edible fruit of the United States. The tree grows in clusters, rivers, streams. I already said that. The flower pawpaw appears in the spring, 1 to 2 inches diameter, purple in color. Once pollinated, these flowers will produce 5 distinctive fruits, usually around mid-September in the Ozarks. If you can get to a poor man's banana before the wildlife gets to it, boy, ain't that true. Wildlife loves pawpaws. Then you're in for a unique treat. They do kind of taste like a mango as well, maybe a banana-mango mix. Trees were once extremely abundant in the Ozark region. Nowadays, pawpaw trees are getting harder to find, but they're still out there if you know where to look. And some of the history from the Ozark hills and hollers, this out-of-place nature led many folks to believe that pawpaws had some sort of supernatural power. According to folklore, Vance Randolph, the pawpaw tree was often associated with witchcraft by the early settlers in the Ozarks. The plants were known to frequent by strange gray and black butterflies that fluttered about the leaves of the pawpaw tree. Today we know these butterflies as zebra swallowtails, and they feed exclusively on young leaves of the pawpaw species. These butterflies have developed an immunity to the insecticide chemicals of the pawpaw. Eating the pawpaw leaves helped to keep the butterflies from becoming food for birds and other predators. Without this knowledge, early settlers of the Ozarks often used the pawpaw conjurer to deal with local witches. If a part of the witch's body, hair, fingernail, etc. would be obtained, then it could be driven into a hole bored in the fork of a pawpaw tree. Doing so would grant protection from the witch and even drive her away from the area. Pretty interesting. Now, another interesting thing about pawpaw, something you probably didn't know, they make great pies. There's a pawpaw custard can be made. Cookies. Grandma made pawpaw cookies with black walnuts. Cakes, quick breads, there's even pawpaw ice cream, pudding, jelly, jam, and probably very few know that You can brew beer with pawpaw. There's a pawpaw pale ale and a regular beer. And English style pale ale flavored with pawpaw pulp is really, really popular. History of the pawpaw. What is a pawpaw? Way down yonder in the pawpaw patch. So there you have it. So that's your Missouri Ozarks edible information for this beautiful Missouri Ozark weekend in October. And we'll see you all on the other side.